Alright, today we don't have notes, but I hope you can follow it along. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, okay? Matthew chapter 6 as we begin. Matthew chapter 6 as we begin. Setting God first in our hearts. Matthew chapter 6. I'm just going to share some thoughts from this one verse that we know, but I'm going to read the entire chapter, okay? And before I actually read that, I want us to just, let's have a word of prayer. Just ask the Lord to speak to us today, alright? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can come into your holy presence to understand your word. Father, I want to thank you for the blessings of your word. For Lord, it is without your revelation of yourself, God, we could never make it in this life. We thank you, Lord, that you have been so kind to us. Lord, we thank you that you've been so good to us in so many ways. Lord, even as a church, individuals, and our families. Yeah, we go through trials and temptations. But Lord, we know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Father, we thank you once again that we can come into your holy presence to hear. We pray that you will speak to us in a special way. For those who are yearning in their hearts to hear from you, Lord, I pray tonight you will show them what you want them to know. And Lord, for those who are tired, I pray you strengthen their soul so that you will be able to bear the infirmities of the flesh. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do now. We pray, maybe there's some more people still coming. I pray that you will be with them and help them, Father, to be swift so they won't miss any of thy word. And we'll thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm just going to get started in Matthew chapter 6. I'll read from verse 25 to 34. I'm going to read slowly. And I'm just going to touch on three thoughts from this passage. Alright, don't fall asleep because I'm going to be very deliberate. There was one man, there was one time he was asked to preach. And what he did was he went up to the pulpit and he just quoted Matthew chapter 5 to Matthew chapter 7 and he gave the invitation. He just basically preached and he just rattled off the three chapters and then gave the invitation. Alright, and that's letting the word of God speak for himself. So in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34, and I'm praying that God will encourage our hearts with the whole area of worrying. Okay? That's what he's talking about here. Therefore, verse 25, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment or clothing? Behold the fowls of the air, the birds of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Verse 27, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment, clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed, was not clothed like one of these. Verse 30. Therefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for tomorrow or the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he was teaching the Jewish congregation or the Jewish people during the time, this is called the Sermon on the Mount, where the Lord Jesus Christ sat on the mountain and he basically preached to the people standing there. And when he preached, everyone was attentive to what he said. He dealt with one of the most pressing needs of those days. A lot of the Jews were very poor people. They couldn't afford a lot of things. Living life is from day to day. The Lord Jesus Christ preached this message to encourage them. Don't worry. Don't worry. Now that is a very hard thing to say to a group of people who sometimes cannot even manage their daily lives. When Jesus, I was thinking in verse 31, you look there. Therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Now you know, for us in Singapore, when we ask the question, what shall we eat? It's not because there is no food. It's because there is too many variety. What shall we eat? Very different. So sometimes when we read, we kind of say, well, it may not dawn on us. These people are really asking the question, we don't have anything. In some countries, I think in Africa and in some places of the world, I was talking to someone on Wednesday night when we were tracking, and there was this man, all right, about 60 plus year old man. He said, you know, you must be reverend. You know, that's how he talked. You must be reverend. You know, not reverend. he was just saying, then after that, he goes, Christianity, doubtful. How can Christianity be true when, you see, Africa, all starving, you know, for so many years. How can God be fair? He asked a kind of questions. He was from ACS. So it was very interesting. And then later on, he quoted Bertrand Russell. How many of you know Bertrand Russell? A philosopher. He quoted Bertrand Russell, Mao Zedong, and all that kind of thing. Chiang Kai-shek. He said, I prefer Chiang Kai-shek. Then in the end, I said, sir, I asked him this question. Are you sure? I mean, we can debate all these things, but are you sure that you're going to heaven? Then he said, you know, a lot of Christians are hypocrites. Some people do bad things, you know. How can Christians think like that? Then I said, sir, you're from ACS, right? He said, yeah. Then I said, ACS is a good school, right? He said, yeah. In ACS, got some bad students. Yeah. Does that mean ACS is a bad school? He said, no. Then after that, at the end of the whole thing, he said, okay, I see you. I think I must consider and analyze what you say again. 64 years, I think he came to a point. But thank God he took the track, and hopefully he will come before ACS. we need to be able to answer these people. But you know, when I thought of that, how these people would blame God for not providing. But these people really couldn't provide. Those people in Africa, really, I've heard of people in Africa eating the barks of the trees. Some people are so poor, they eat the grass. They have nothing else to eat. Okay? And you know what about us? You know what's the solution? We all have worries in our life. Right? We all have worries in our life. Did you know that worry is a sin? Never mind, you're just in time. Just come. Did you know that worrying is sin? Worrying is a sin. Worrying is a sin simply... No, that too. Worrying is a sin... Simply because worrying means I don't trust God. It's a sin. Okay? What is the solution for this? The Lord Jesus Christ gave a lot of illustrations from verse 25, Matthew chapter 6. After he talked about, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Don't worry about your body, what you're going to put on. The only two things in your life that you ever need, according to the Bible, is food and clothing. Matthew chapter 6, alright, those who just come in. And Jesus also said in verse 27, which of you, by worrying, can make you grow one cubit higher? A cubit is 18 inches. Now, just because you worry, do you think you can grow 18 inches when you worry? Or you get more white hairs? Okay? Maybe God's trying to get our attention there. Yeah, what's that? Come, let's be a little bit control. All right? Stop SMSing the other person. I'm just telling the other person. Okay. Here, God wants us to... God says, how can... basically, in verse 27, Jesus is saying, how many of you, by worrying, can grow? You know what he means? can you change anything by worrying? That's what Jesus, can you change anything by worrying? No. That's what he's saying. You're not going to change anything by worrying. And according to some, I think I heard this before, right? You don't quote me on that. Some people say that whatever we worry, 70% doesn't come to pass. 30% may, but 70% doesn't come to pass. You know, one of the things I've learned in the ministry, don't worry, just leave it to the Lord. Just do what you need to do. Just do what you need to do. The Lord Jesus gave the solution in verse 33. How do we overcome worry? The Bible says in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I think one of the blessings I had from Jeremiah, in my heart, I didn't share with him, but I want to share, Jeremiah is doing a course in Foundations for Living, and it's really powerful stuff for me. This is the thing that I will be doing. If anyone who ever want to do a Bible college degree, a PhD, you will go into the philosophy and things. But at a lower level in Foundations of Living, they actually look at the worldview. And one of the things I've learned as I was reading is we as men, we don't live by our thinking. We live by the revelation of God. Think about that for a while. We live by the revelation of God. Because God says, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. I'll touch on that a little bit more afterwards. But you know, that's, for me, it really opens... I mean, we believe the word of God, but it really puts it in perspective. If we live life the way we live on planet Earth as all human beings, we'll die and go to hell. Unless God would reveal His word and His plan for us. Does it make sense? If we live by what we understand in this world, all we understand is what man understands about life. And unfortunately, many people live by the culture and the understanding of what man thinks in this life. But you know what God did? He gave His word to reveal to us eternal truth. And that's why in Matthew 4 verse 4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Okay? The declaration I want to give from verse 33, when we put God first, our needs will be met. Isn't that what Jesus says? When we put God first, our needs will be met. Because Jesus says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. What are the things that Jesus is talking about? Your needs. The things that you need in your life. Anything that you ever need in your life, when you put God first, when you do God's things first, God says, your needs will be met. You know, as I was thinking on this, I really cracked my head. I was saying, Lord, what is the correlation? What is the correlation? How, when we take care of your work, you will ensure that our needs are met? And then it dawned on me, we live by revelation. That's what God says. Many things, the way God works in His kingdom is a mystery. That's where faith comes in. Which is why when we don't trust God and worry, we sin. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Does that make sense? Okay. As you look at Matthew chapter 6, what does seeking God involve? Because the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So what does seeking first the kingdom of God involve? It involves three things. Number one, listen, seeking God first means you put God's business before your own. You put God's business first before your own. I'll be very honest with you. I'm trying to move away from putting... let me rewind again. You find that one of the things I preach, and I'm finding that many times, it seems to be the same themes again and again. What does seeking the kingdom of God mean? Can anyone enlighten me? Anyone have an idea? What does seeking the kingdom of God mean? Have you thought of that before? What does seeking the kingdom of God mean? Anyone? We always sing, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? What does seeking the kingdom mean? Do his word? Okay, adding new souls. Yeah, what else? Doing the work that God wants you to do. Anyone else? Again? Sorry, again? Put God as first priority, that's correct. What else? What would you do that? Seeking His kingdom. The word seeking means to earnestly reach out for. What does seeking His kingdom mean? What does kingdom mean? Okay? Advance God's work, yeah? It's kingship, yeah. Seeking God's, because in the kingdom there must be a ruler, right? There must be a king, right? So when you seek God's kingdom, what does it mean? Putting God's business first. You know, I was trying to look for other things, but that is human wisdom. But when I actually look at the revelation of God, you know what's the business of the kingdom of God? Three things. Number one, salvation. Salvation. Okay? And actually what you all said were right. Doing God's will, putting God as first priority, getting souls into the kingdom of God. No, all these are relevant. The first thing, the business of the kingdom of God is salvation. Because in Mark chapter 1:15, maybe I'll get some people to read. Brother Desmond, you can turn to Mark 1:15. Okay, if Sister Jamie, you can turn to Luke 9:60. Jeremiah, you can turn to Luke 4:43. Then Jacob, you can turn to Luke 9:62. Okay. The business. What does it mean to put God's business before our own, seeking His kingdom? In Mark 1:15. Okay, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The first thing in seeking the kingdom of God is salvation. If you're not a Christian today, I think most of us are, but don't assume a salvation, especially children, just because mommy says, oh, very good, you say a sinner's prayer. Sinner's prayer don't save you. Change in your heart, repentance and faith towards Christ will save you. Okay, so the first thing about the business of the kingdom of God is for us, if you are not a Christian, Jesus is admonishing the people who are listening. Look, if you are not a Christian today, the first thing you need to do is to seek your salvation in the kingdom of God. Okay? That's one. Number two, the business of the kingdom of God is Luke chapter 9, verse 60.
Jesus said unto them, let the dead bury their dead, but go now and preach the kingdom of God.
Luke 4:43.
He said,
okay, the first business of the kingdom of God is salvation. Second one is preaching and evangelism. When Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, you know what He's saying? I want you guys to be involved in my work. Okay, number three, Luke chapter 9, verse 62. Okay, no man having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. We need to be faithfully serving the Lord, because when we put our hands to the plow and then back off, God says, you are not fit to be in my kingdom. So when Jesus says to seek the kingdom of God, we need to put hands to the plow and keep going for His glory. You know, one of the things I'd like to share with you from this particular verse, you know how to get your needs met? Not just putting God first, you know, is serving God in the areas that God has revealed to us. We need to be actively serving God. Brother Johnny, there's so much worries, you know. You know what God says? You put me first, I'll deal with your worries. That's what He's saying in this verse. I say that again. You put God first and His kingdom first, you put Him first, God will deal with your worry. Many people are so caught up with, I've got so many things I need to do, I've got so many worries, I've got so many concerns, I cannot do this. No, God says, you seek it first, my kingdom. You put my kingdom first. You know, it dawned on me one thing as I was meditating on this. Do you realize God is our king? We are the servants. Yes? When we serve God as king, what does a king do for his servants? Without us servants asking? He feeds us. He has to take care of us. Otherwise, we don't eat, we die. Food will be provided. Does that make sense? It dawned on me that because we are servants of God, God is under obligation to take care of us. But not only that, He is our Heavenly Father. Last time, Esther Joy would wake up early in the morning. That's why she's knocked out now. You know what? It's a blessing for me. She would. I'll just share. It's a blessing for me. She'd wake up in the morning and she would say, "Papa, wake up. Read Bible." Okay. So she's saying, "Watch out." And she's reading through John chapter 4. And the last time she said, "God, help me not to sin so I can whatever." I say, "But if you trusted Christ, then it's Heavenly Father." Now it's, "Dear Heavenly Father." You know, you get to move from God to Heavenly Father. Because that's what Jesus said. When you pray, say. Say what? Our Father. You know there's a difference between God and Father? There's a big difference between God and Father. God is God. Father is... there's a relationship. You know, Christians, we need to learn to serve our Father. We need to learn to serve God. Put Him first. And based on the Word of God, 6:33, when you seek ye first the kingdom of God, in other words, the advancement of God's priority on planet Earth is number one priority with a child of God. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is Jesus teaching us to pray? Your kingdom first, Lord. It's your kingdom first. It is your work first, Lord. And we as your subjects and your servants, we serve you first, Lord. You know, sometimes even as soldiers on the field, we lack our rations or we lack ammunition to fight. But you know what? Our King will supply them. Does that make sense? Number one, seeking God involves putting His business before our own. And that means if we are not saved, we need to seek salvation. If we are saved, then preaching and evangelism, extending the kingdom of God is number one priority. Serving Him faithfully is also number one priority. When we seek the kingdom of God first, that's what it means. In other words, the things of God is number one priority with every Christian who is seeking first the kingdom of God. And that is making it concrete. Because sometimes, we just put God first. You know, it's a waffly term. And that's why some of us are not even... actually, true. If you really think seeking first, again, what does it mean? The Bible says seeking first means salvation, preaching, serving the Lord. Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Number two. What does seeking God first involve? Putting God's business before our own. Number two, making every life's decision according to His will. Seek His kingdom and His righteousness. What God says to be right and true in every situation of life. Even when it goes against our thinking. Because when you seek God's kingdom first, and then you want to make God's righteousness to be your righteousness, we have to submit to a higher principle of righteousness. And that's God's righteousness. Does that make sense? When we seek His righteousness, it means we are doing the following. A few things. Number one, in everything we do, we seek His will first, which is the right thing to do. In everything we do, we seek God's will first. Does that make sense? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What? Lean not to your own understanding. Why? In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct thy paths. Okay? That's Proverbs chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, 12 and verse 50. Let's turn there. Matthew chapter 12, verse 50. Matthew chapter 12, verse 50. The Bible says, "For whosoever," chapter 12, verse 50. "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." Your relationship to Jesus Christ is indicated by your performing of the Father's will in your life. That is seeking His righteousness. I say it again. Your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ is evidence, is characterized by doing the Father's will in your life. In other words, if there are certain decisions that we make that is contrary to the Father's will, the Lord Jesus Christ, based on Matthew 12, 50, your relationship with me is not very strong. Can I say this, children? When you disobey your parents, it shows that you don't love your parents. True? Very simple principle. Jesus says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Very simple. How do you show your love to your parents? Simply by listening to them. That's what the Bible says. Now, parents, you know I'm helping you, right? But at the same time, children, this is a serious matter. If you cannot obey your parents, whom you can see, how in the world are you going to obey God, whom you cannot see? But one day, you will see Him. And I'm praying that every child in this church will be in heaven. And I cannot force you, your parents cannot force you, children. You are responsible to understand the gospel and then to live the life, okay? I think they go back very trembling. But same way for us. When we do the will of God, it requires us to seek His righteousness, okay? Number two, within point two, in everything we do, in seeking God's righteousness, it means we do His word and His will. Number one, we seek His will, which is right. Number two, we then do His word and His will. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. I think we all know, but turn there. The Lord Jesus Christ was challenged by Satan. And when the tempter in verse 3 came to Him, He said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be Command these stones to be made bread." Question for you, is Jesus capable of doing that? Absolutely. Question for you, why didn't he do that? Why didn't Jesus, the Son of God, did he have a legitimate reason to change the stones into bread? Did he have a real reason? After fasting, he's hungry, right? Just on Tuesday, you fasted, you were hungry. Some of you had early dinner. That's okay. Jesus had a proper reason to change the stones into bread. And He had the power to do that. Question for you, why didn't He do that? Why didn't He do that? Again? Okay, it's possible you want to challenge the devil. Deuteronomy, where it came from. Right, Deuteronomy chapter 6, I believe. Let's see. Did you say no, it's not 6. It's chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. You know what Jesus was doing? He's basically quoting the Old Testament. Alright, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. I'll read verse 2 and 3. "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee to know what was in thine heart." Hang on. Thank you. No worries. Okay, in verse 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Lord Jesus Christ was given us an example. In that situation, you realize one thing? Changing stones to bread was not God's will, even though Jesus had complete power to do so. Because He was preparing for the ministry. At that time, He was fasting. Yeah, He was hungry. But He's not going to break that fast yet, just yet. Because the Holy Spirit has to tell Him. So at that situation, He's teaching us the very important lesson, your satisfaction of life cannot overtake God's will and God's word in your life. He was hungry. It was okay for Him to eat. But Jesus said, I'm not going to do that because the basic principle is I don't live my life on this world by what satisfies me. But I live by what God says by revelation. Christians, do you understand what I'm saying? Very important. Many Christians live by what satisfies them in this world. Jesus is teaching us, if you are truly seeking the righteousness of God in your life, you will do what pleases Him. His obeying God pleases Him. You know, on Tuesday when some of us, thank God we were able as a church to come and fast and to pray. Some of us had a hard time. Some of us was okay. Some of us got extra to stand. Some of us really was knocked out. But you know, it's not what we feel at that time that's important, isn't it? But what is important to God. When you seek the righteousness of God, you put Him first. In everything we do His word and His will. It involves all our relationships, how we deal with them. We need to seek the right thing in that relationship. Lord, what is the right thing that You want me to do? It's not what I feel. It's not what I've gone through. It's what You have taught me to do. In our families, God wants children to obey parents. God wants husband and wife to work together. God wants the family to be united. That's God's will. And if there's something that stops that, Lord, what do You want us to do? Not what I think. Does it make sense? When we seek God's righteousness, it involves our children and their future. Whatever we plan, Lord, what is Your will? What is Your will for my children? What is Your will, Lord, for my children? Some children as young as 9 years old can tell you, I want to go to the mission field. And I know of one who went to the mission field based on the decision she made when she was 9 years old. And I'm sure there are many, many others. Spurgeon as young as 5, he was already convicting people in the pubs. He wasn't even saved. There was one story where Spurgeon, as a young child, 5 years old, and there was a church member who was unfaithful and he was in the pubs. And apparently he went to the pub and pointed to the... Do you know that you're making your pastor's heart broken because of your sin? 5 years old. And he wasn't even saved, but he was under a lot of Christian influence. Spurgeon wasn't saved until he was 15. Gloriously saved, and then after that. But you know what, parents, as you train your children in the things of God, yeah, they may have a Christianized influence, but make sure they have the salvation in their hearts. Okay? And so, it's not, even in the children's future and education, it's not what we want for our children, but what God wants for our children. Did you know that? In seeking the righteousness of God, our children need to see that when mommy, daddy planned for my education, it was with God's point in mind. It's God's righteousness and God's kingdom in mind. It also involves our careers and our marriage partners. It involves our careers and our marriage partners. Whoever, Lord, what is Your will for my life? It involves everything in our lives because the Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. In everything that you do, acknowledge Him. Alright? In seeking God, seeking to put God first, number one, you need to put God's business before our own. Number two, in making life's decision, we need to make every life decision according to His will. And number three, it involves trusting Him on His promises. Okay? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you realize there's a promise? God says these things shall be, not might be, not maybe, not just in case, not you have to do these three things before. If you will do these things, God says, I will add these things to your life. I will. Not according to what we think sometimes. Okay? But God will provide our needs. You know, as a Heavenly Father, He promised to. Let me ask you this simple question. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? That in everything you do, you say, God, I'm going to seek you in everything that I do, in my job, in this, and this, and this. And God, if it doesn't work out, or it seems to sway me away from my basic priority, I'm not going to give any excuse. I'm going to just pull out. I'm just going to drop. Lord, if you say this, I'm going to drop everything and follow your will. That's seeking first God's kingdom. Can I share with you some of the promises of God? We live our Christian life, I'll come and touch this. We live our Christian lives not by our thinking or reasoning, but by the word and the promises of God. We live our Christian life by the word and the promises of the word of God. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Psalm 81 verse 10, I'll just read. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. That's a promise. I'm the God who has saved you from your sin. Open out wide your mouth, and I'll fill it. That's what He says. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Well, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, even in our hunger, God is with us. Even when we don't have things, God is with us. Even when we think the whole world crashes, God is still with us. Did you know that? Even in the time of death, God is with us. All the Christians who died knew. You know, many of the Christians who died at the stake or when they were executed, they went to the stake with a smile on their face. You know why? Because they knew God was with them. God was giving them the dying grace. If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 6, this is powerful. He that spared not His own Son. If God didn't even allow His Son to go free, He gave it freely for us. The Bible says, shall He not freely give us all things? You know why? Because God has given us His best, His own Son. Why can't we trust Him in this life? You know why? Because of unbelief. Because of our sinful pride. That God, I want to control my life. But God says, I want you to surrender your life. The promises of God. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. As we close, just three simple points. Number one, how do you face your worries in your life? Number one, put God's business first. Put God's business first. In other words, when there's a service necessary, say, Lord, I'll put you first. There's something that I need to serve, I'll put you first. I'll put you first. Because God said, if you put my kingdom first, your needs will be met, number one. Number two, put God's will in your life first, His righteousness. Because when you seek His will and do the right thing, you're putting God's righteousness. Lord, what is your will? What is your will? What is your will? And God says, I'll provide for that. And number three, trust His promises. Trust His promises. Do what He tells you to do and trust His promises. Don't sway away from what God told you to do in the first place, no matter how legitimate the other reasons are. A like house along a bleak close was once told by, it was given to a keeper, okay? There was this lighthouse, this coast that was very, very dark. There was one man who was given enough oil for 1 month. And his job was to keep the light burning every night for that 1 month. Okay? And the coast guard told, you need to keep the light, keep the oil, the oil for the light for 1 month. One day a woman asked for oil so that her children could stay warm in the cold. Then a farmer came. His son needed oil for a lamp so he could read. Another person came, needed some for his engine. And the keeper saw each as a worthy request and gave just enough oil to satisfy all. Near the end of the month, the tank in the lighthouse ran dry. That night, the beacon was dark. 3 ships crashed on the rocks. More than 100 lives were lost. When there was an official inquiry into what happened, the man explained what he done and why. And then the official said, "You were given one task alone. It was to keep the light burning. Everything else was secondary." And you know what the judge said? That is not a defense. What is your priority? Are you going to explain to God at that day, "God, I couldn't do what you want because, you know, I've got to take care of this, I've got to take care of this, I've got to take care of this, I've got to take care of this. Oh, no, I'll give you another octopus. I've got to take care of this and that." God says, "Your job in my life that I've given to you on planet Earth was to do my will." That is no defense. You know, it is so hard. I understand what you're thinking. But within the page of the Bible, that is seeking first the kingdom of God. You know, many pastors always, "Why you don't build a church?" And some people feel very oppressed by it. But when you really study the scriptures, now I understand why those pastors go all out to build God's kingdom, because that's God's word. And can I gently put it to you? That's God's will for ambassador. Put His kingdom first. God says, "I'll meet your needs. I'll meet your needs." I'll just finish off with this. There was one guy, his name was Milt Rott. Milt Rott worked for years as a car salesman, okay? And he was very active with the Union Gospel Mission too, okay? He was working as a salesman, and he was also active in the Gospel Mission, and he deal with delinquents. You know delinquents? Children who drop out of school and had a hard time in their families and all that. He faithfully, week by week, patiently teach the Word of God and pray with these young boys in trouble. One week, Milt Rott went into the hospital for an exploratory surgery. Now, well, they didn't know what was wrong with him. They just went in and they found him full of cancer. What happened was then, after that, the doctor actually, he was so full of cancer, they didn't try to do anything. They sewed him up, sent him home. Apparently, he died within 1 week. After the funeral, during the funeral, one man actually said this. "It's interesting that no one asked, how many cars did this guy sold in his lifetime?" But you know what? The funeral, I believe, were attended by boys whom he helped week by week with Bible study and prayer and encouragement. You know what he was doing? He was seeking first the kingdom of God. When you die, your skills are going to be left on earth. Oh yeah, you may have a name for a while. After a while, someone else will come. How many of you know who is Zico? No, I'm not Vico, the chocolate Milo. How many of you know Zico? No one knows Zico. You know Zico? Yeah, Zico. Zico was a Brazilian captain, one of the very famous soccer players in the 1970s. Now he's Cristiano, whatever, already on the nose, come on already. Huh? Your skills will be left behind. Or maybe Pele Pele is legendary, right? But even his name, if he's not a Christian, he's going to perish. But you know, all your skills will be left behind. Only those people whom you have touched with your prayer, your life, will last. I finish with this. Only one life to soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Nothing else matters. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If God asks you to do something, do it. Don't delay. Because that is the will of God for us. Alright? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We pray, Father, that you'll be an encouragement, Lord. to seek your kingdom first, and what it means. Lord, thy word is so clear, so glaringly clear. If we were to search the scriptures for ourselves, Lord, we will realize it says the same thing. When we seek your kingdom first, Lord, it means to do your will, to expand your kingdom. It means to be involved in your kingdom. It means to be saved. And then his righteousness involves the changing of our character in submission and obedience to your will. And the Father learning to trust you. That God, truly, you will meet all our needs. With your eyes closed, heads bowed. Maybe the Lord has spoken to you and said, Brother Johnny, pray for me that God will help me to seek his kingdom first in all things that we do. Is there anyone like that? Just pull up your right hand and I'll pray for you. Amen. I saw those hands. I see this hand. Putting God's. Yes, amen. I see that hand too. Just put it up and put it down. Okay, anyone else? Just pray and tell. Yes, I see that hand. Say, God, I will seek your kingdom first. God is hard. Amen. I see those hands too. I will seek your kingdom first. But God, you need to help me to trust you. I will trust you, but help me. Is there anyone else? Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Just in quiet prayer in your heart. Say, God, beg God if you have to. I can tell you, your relationship with your Savior is more important than anything else in this world. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Is there anyone else? Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for everyone that put up their hand. I pray, Father, that thy Holy Spirit will touch their hearts in a special way. God, I pray that thy word will truly sink into their heart. That, God, I will put you first. Yes, I may be concerned about so many things. But God, your word tells me that if I were to focus on your word, God, you'll take care of my needs. Lord, help me to submit to you in however way you will take care of my needs. Father, help us to be in submission to that. We know in some areas, Father, you will provide 100-fold. In some areas, you provide just what we need, simply because you have your perfect will. And Father, there's no problem with that. Lord, you just do what you see fit. Help us, Father, to live by your will. Thank you for what you're going to do. I pray especially, Lord, for Sister Sarah as she will be going back. And I ask that thy will, Lord, will be preeminent in her life. That, Father, she will live for you alone. And when she goes back there, everything that she sees and does will be in line with what you have her to do. And we pray for Sister Grace as she goes back to with her daughter to help make some arrangements and stuff. I pray, Father, for wisdom, double portion, Lord, that she might be able to know specifically what you would have her to do. And God, that you will send counselors, you will send people along the way. They'll give her biblical counsel, godly counsel, that will send her in the right path. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Lord, increase our faith, we ask. Help us to trust you more. Help us to seek first your kingdom more. Help us to seek your righteousness more. And help us to trust that all these things shall be added unto us as Ambassador Baptist Church and as individuals as well. We'll thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.